Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Hey, everybody.
Morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning.
Steve, I got some riveting TV for you tonight.
Oh, buddy. I can't wait. What am I going to watch?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What are you going to watch? It's the only game in town.
It's still the Jack and Jill show. It's going to be the Joe and Jill show tonight. All right. In Chicago, live from Chicago.
I have one question, whether it's going to be entertaining or not. Is there going to be a teleprompter? I want to see the teleprompter go on the fritz.
But wouldn't you? Let him just freestyle.
I want to see what he says without a teleprompter.
Joe Biden and Jill Biden. Joe Biden, the current president, or so they say, is. I'm gonna do Trump. Some people say.
Go ahead.
So, Jill, by all accounts, was the person that was keeping Joe Biden in the race for so long. I mean, she was the force that kept pushing him and pushing him. She should have stepped in sooner, is what I hear over and over
again. Oh, she stepped in.
Well, so here's
she
what
propped I'm him up.
Is she gonna be a little bit bitter tonight?
Oh, when she speaks.
Yeah.
Now, that's a good question. Now, we talked about in the first hour whether Joe Biden would be. I don't think he will. I think he'll be supportive of Kamala Harris. But I don't know about Jill. That's a good question. I got Dr. Biden.
I got a funny thing that would work, I think.
Yeah.
It would be a comedy goal.
Okay.
If I were Joe Biden and I wanted to get revenge on the people that are going to be there who cooed me.
Yeah.
Okay, they. You know what I would do? I would speak for 2 hours.
Joe Biden speak for 2 hours?
Well, I'm just theoretically.
Yeah,
okay. I'm saying, wouldn't that be hilarious for him to speak for 2 hours, and see who has to come get him off the stage, and then he could say, "See, here we go again." You see what I'm saying? Here we go again. First of all, you pulled me off the national stage.
Yeah.
Now I'm here to physically speak. And they're pulling me off here of two people.
Yeah.
So I want you to know who's behind the curtain and then watch them yank him off. What do you think about that, baby?
Well, now.
Just go long, 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 long.
Now, first of all, you said it'd be comedy gold. I don't see anything funny about listening to Joe Biden for 2 hours. But what you said at the end, that would be funny. Wait, I'm not through yet. I'm not ready to go.
Don't you think the orchestra would start playing after 10 minutes?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, the Democrats watching that are going to be going, please let it be over. Please let it be over. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Talking about Biden's speech. But Jill Biden speaking to you. So you think she may get some things off her chest?
I'm just wondering.
Directed at people who are there in the audience. I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe not.
Because it's not going to change anything.
Right.
And she still wants to be invited to all the parties.
There you go.
So, anyway, I probably will watch as much of it as I can tonight.
Well, that's not much of a commitment.
How's that for lukewarm?
I'll watch as much as I can. Tomorrow morning, I'll come in. What'd you watch? 2.5 minutes.
I watched old hockey highlights.
Yeah.
I got distracted.
Mm-hmm. All right. So
I was listening to you guys talk the last part of the hour where you were talking about equity versus equality, right?
Yes. We were talking about what Kamala Harris said. Do you remember? Are you aware of the speech?
I know the speech. I've heard the speech you're talking about, or quoted anywhere, where she says, you know, it's all good to give everybody the same thing, but they don't start at the same place.
Right.
So here's my question, Kamala. You give everybody enough. You give the poor people more money. You tax the rich. You put everybody at the same spot, right? And you say, go. What happens in 10 years? How often? 10 years from now, the people that have discipline and hard work and ethics are going to have a lot more than the people who don't and are living on welfare and you know, just just kind of blaming everybody else for their life.
Yeah.
Are you going to have to do it again?
That's a valid point, because if Elon Musk and Ed Vitagliano have whatever they have.
Yeah.
Okay, now Elon, we're going to take a lot more away from Elon.
Think you should go halfway. You can get half of his money.
Elon and Ed Vitagliano have everything stripped away from them, and they start from scratch right now, tomorrow, Tuesday, August 20th. In 5 years, Elon Musk is going to be just about all the way there. Ed Vitagliano is probably not going to be to where I am now. There are certain people who are gifted like Elon Musk.
Not just the
gift. For everyone else, it takes. Now, it does take breaks. I will say this, and I'm not disputing that not everyone starts at the same place, but and some people have an advantage. If you come from a home that's fairly well-to-do and they buy you your first vehicle, they're able to do that, and you trade that in, I understand how all that works, but there's no way to change that. That is part of the reality of human existence. It's been the way ever since the beginning. And there's no changing that, no matter what the commies think.
My point is, as a general rule, and there are tons of exceptions you can point to, but as a general rule, the harder you work, the more disciplined you are, the more you study,
right,
the farther along you're going to get.
That's right out of the book of Proverbs.
Yes. And so eventually you're going to have a whole bunch of people who have a whole lot more than a whole bunch of other people. And Kamala Harris is going to come along and say, this isn't fair.
Right.
We're not starting at the same spot. So how often do you restart?
Well, that's valid. As often as it takes, Steve. If you're committed to an equitable society and a just society,
you do it
Steve
like,
Jordahl, you do it as often as it takes.
How about doing it like biblical Israel? Was it every 50 years all your debts were?
Year of Jubilee.
Year of Jubilee. Everything was reset.
Hey, I wanted to hear the let's talk a little bit more about the Kamala Harris communist plan for price controls. We do have, by the way, Brent Crilly, our producer, you said you found the speech where she talks about price controls, right? Let's play it. And then you have something else where she threatens drug companies.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Believe me, as president, I will go after the bad actors. Yeah. And I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gauging on food. My plan will include new penalties for opportunistic companies that exploit crises and break the rules. And we will support smaller food businesses that are trying to play by the rules and get ahead. We will help the food industry become more competitive because I believe competition is the lifeblood of our economy. More competition means lower prices for you and your families.
Well, she did whiplash there. Huh? That last part, she sounded like Ronald Reagan.
She reminds me of the eighth grader that's running for class president. Yes. I'm going to put a candy machine for free in every hallway.
No school on Fridays. I'm going to get rid of homework. Listen, that's first of all, it doesn't that plan, using air quotes here, is going to collapse under the flimsiest of scrutiny. Okay, because none of it made any sense. But she's calling these grocery stores and these chains bad actors. She's going to bring the full. I don't think it's legal what she's saying she is going to do.
She's pandering.
You have to toss out the Constitution.
There's never been a problem.
She's pandering like Democrats do most of the time. And Republicans can pander too. But she's a panda bear. You know?
That's Panda Express.
Yeah, Panda Express right there.
See what I did?
And that's Express. What politicians do. Especially Democrats during a national election, it's promise everybody the world, especially the poor and the middle class, and then try to pit the poor and the middle class versus the rich and wealthy who are controlling and ruining your lives, and it's unfair. I mean, that's worked.
Yeah,
that's worked over the decades in American politics, and there, you know, there have been historical examples of that kind of thing going on, you know, but no system is perfect. But as my dad used to say, the free enterprise system, undergirded by the Christian value system,
right,
provides the most beneficial living for the most people.
Right.
And that's been proven by the United States of America's, the experiment,
right,
of the USA. And, you know, quite frankly, also, we do have a somewhat of a safety net for people. And I'm glad we do. Some of it by the federal government, a lot of it by charities.
Right.
Christian charities. We as a people do care for the poor and the disadvantaged and those who have, you know, suffered. So we have welfare, right? We have a lot of welfare,
right,
programs. I mean, we have a lot of welfare. If you look at the federal budget, there's a lot of money that goes to helping poor people and providing programs and free stuff. Then you have, you know, Social Security, which now that's not welfare. You pay into that. What are y'all watching? I'm missing something.
No. No,
or am I that boring?
No.
No.
Y'all keep staring at the TV screen.
I'm sorry.
And I don't nobody's looking at me.
I was watching. We've told our folks we have four news feeds playing on the screen. And it's, Tim, in my defense, it's right behind your right ear where I'm. So I was looking at you, and then I saw a commercial where this house had mold in it. And I, so anyway.
No, that, I can see how you would be
easily
distracted.
How did that kind happen? Of
commercial.
Wow.
Yeah, so
sorry.
So listening
sorry.
To Tim or watching a commercial on mole, I'm going with the commercial on mole.
All right,
okay.
You have my full. Well, I'm listening.
Well,
to
have you ever talked to somebody and they're looking past you the whole time? It's just very distracting.
Yes, it happens every night at dinner.
Okay, but who is she looking at? Just looking out the window.
A hummingbird feeder, just
okay.
Past my right
okay.
ear.
Okay. Anyway, where was I? What are we talking about?
Well, we were talking about important stuff, Tim. we were talking about Kamala Harris and the pandering.
Over to you, Steve.
All right. Well, we've had big companies. This is it's historic. I think you said, some one of you guys just said this, that people have been blaming big business and making victims out of people for a long time. Do you guys remember the 70s, the late 70s of the gas shortages?
I do.
And everybody was thinking that
late 70s, wasn't it the the early 70s when OPEC during the
right.
Nixon administration.
That's when we put the stickers on our lights
yeah.
at our house.
But it had to be
turn
after 2016 because I was
remember
driving. After
during the Carter administration.
We had the energy crisis of like, let's say in 73
right.
or whatever it was. And then we had the
gas shortages.
Gas shortage of 78, 79.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
I remember there was a TV show where the hero, they stole a gas truck from a big, bad gas company, and they drove it out a little bit into the desert. They opened it up and started selling gas for reasonable prices or giving it away from free. Oh. And, of course, the executives at the big, old, bad, you know, energy company were just beside themselves with, what are we going to do? They're ruining us. It's time immemorial. And this has happened. This is in Kamala Harris's history as well. Remember back to 2020. We're in the middle of the COVID pandemic. And the vaccines were coming out. And we're talking about pharmaceutical companies. We're talking about...
I don't remember much about that.
No, it's been a while.
No,
and COVID took over. It probably made you forget a lot of it.
That's some great memories right there.
I want you to listen to Kamala Harris. She's taking Big Pharma to task over the amount of money that they sometimes charge for some of their this wasn't the vaccines, which were free if I remember, but
well, they were free. The government paid for
yeah, but for drugs, penicillin or diabetes medicine, all that kind of stuff. Listen to her. She's threatening these Big Pharma companies. Cut 7.
I will snatch their patent. So that we will take over. And yes, we can do that. Yes, we can do that. Yes, we can do that. It's the question is, do you have the will to do it? I have the will to do it.
All right. First of all, I'm just going to say, And folks, we are a nonprofit, so I can't, you know, pick and choose people and recommend that you vote for them. Okay. I'm just going to say, all things being equal, politics and policies aside, I do not want to listen to that high-pitched voice for the next 4 years. She always sounds like she's talking to second graders. You know, who's a good little boy with a high-pitched voice? That was hard to listen to. But Tim, I'd like your opinion on this because
on her voice.
On the content of what she said. Yes, we can do this. You just have to have the will.
Listen to what she's saying.
Patents.
Listen to what she's saying. Yeah, she's saying when I get if I get in charge of being the country, I'll do what I want to. And if it means seizing patents, I'll seize patents. You know what that patents are patents for a reason. They've been approved by pharmaceutical companies or businesses or car manufacturers to make something, and they don't want their intellectual property stolen.
Right. Or else what happens?
And she's saying if I don't think they're doing right, I'll strip them.
Yeah.
I'll take them away. And yes, you can. She insisted on it. There was nothing there about, you know what, that's you got to be really careful about saying stuff like that. If there are exploitations by pharmaceutical companies or others, or we'll look into that or whatever. No, I'll strip them of their, I'll shut down their business.
You know what happens if you strip patents? People stop inventing stuff. That's
right.
What happens.
Right.
Because they are investing money in research and development
right.
to come up with a better engine, a more efficient. Can you imagine if a company came up with a more efficient internal combustion engine? Now, obviously, she wouldn't take that away, but
why not?
Well, if you're gonna strip away the right to your own intellectual property, then nobody's going to invent anything. Listen,
I've never heard of a president doing that.
Me either. She can't do it.
No,
she would try and get sued, and she would lose. But I want to know what kind of intelligence is thinking this is a good idea.
This is what I mean by pandering. Because what she's doing there, and again, it's worked for Democrats. The Republicans, basically, their philosophy is let people free people up from government regulation to let them do what they want to help make this country better
right.
and let them make money off of it.
Yes.
Give them incentive, right.
right?
The Democrat playbook is more of you are being oppressed by the rich man, especially the rich white man. And it's time for justice. Who's with me?
Right.
And we're going to get it. And if it means shutting down, taking people's patents away, then that's what we'll do. That's pandering to people's basically base emotions of jealousy and grievance.
And some of these people may be suffering. We understand that.
Yeah, but it's not my fault.
Well, what I'm saying is that's a powerful emotion.
She's tapping into that.
Yes,
she's pandering to that. And somebody asked her, and who bigger to pick on than Big Pharma?
Right,
because I mean,
Big Oil. That's coming.
Well, yeah,
that's the
but I mean,
engine he's listen, talking about.
I know there are issues with quote Big Pharma that conservatives have.
Right,
I've heard those before, but I'm just saying that overall the pharmaceutical companies are in it to make money. Yes, they're in it to make money, but they only make money if things that they produce help make people healthier.
Right.
Now, I know there are people say, well, these things don't make people healthier. I don't want to get into that too much.
Right.
I'm just saying that's the general principle.
Yeah. If you don't think that those drugs work, then don't get them.
Here's,
right.
That's
right.
Part of the other side of the coin.
Here's the model, though. With pharmaceutical companies, they will take 10 different ideas and dump $20 million into each one of those ideas. So, and one of those ideas is going to work and the other nine go nowhere.
Right.
But you can't get your $20 million back.
Right.
So now you have $80 million that you've invested that you've in research that didn't go anywhere. You right. have one product that you're going to sell. You got to stay in business and you got to make money for your investors. All that money that you lost on trying to get some drug that didn't make it, That's why you have drugs that cost more than you think they should, because you're paying for research.
The reason, if she goes forward and continues in the last months, 2 months and a half, whatever we've got here, all right, if she continues to talk this way, there's going to be a sizable portion of the American people who are going to still support her under the delusion that we can't wind up like Venezuela. Folks, it happens. It can happen to America. And those kinds of policies will destroy the greatest economy in the world and maybe human history.
Yeah, but, I mean, she is, boy, she is just, she makes Obama look like a conservative.
Right.
On some of the things she says and does and believes in. I mean, she is, there's no exaggeration. Wasn't she like the most liberal senator?
Yes.
Yes.
Right there with Bernie Sanders?
Ahead of Bernie Sanders.
You mean more liberal?
More liberal.
When she was in the Senate, so... Wow.
I don't care, Tim. She looks friendly.
Well, listen, she's tied with Donald Trump.
Yes.
She's tied with him everywhere. She's ahead in some of the polls, some of the national polls,
right.
But in the battleground states. So, I mean, all the things we've talked about, which she needs to be asked about, I mean, there's, like I said, there are many people who vote on their emotions and whether they like somebody or not. So there's a lot of that. There's some Americans. I don't know what the percentages are. But a lot of people look at ideology and what they believe in, what they're going to do for the country, and not necessarily their personality or whether they like them or not. And then there are substantial percentage of Americans who go, you know, I just don't like Trump. He just runs his mouth too much and is mean to people. I want to vote for somebody else. Who's out there? Harris, she's okay. I'll vote for her instead. There's people like that.
Well, I remember we talked about the Bush-Gore election in the year 2000, and I don't know what the percentage was, but the post-election autopsy, if you will, and Bush, of course, won by the thinnest of margins because of Florida. There were people who said in answering polls, well, Gore is kind of wooden. He's always talking like a professor. Bush seems like the kind of guy I could sit down and have a beer with. Okay. What does that mean?
George, you drink.
George Bush is not going to have a beer with you. Are you going to vote for? No, I voted for George Bush. I'm saying you really shouldn't be making your political decision based on whether you think the person is likable. But to your point, Tim, a lot of people do that.
Well, especially with the advent of television, of course, back in the 50s and 60s and forward, that became a big part of a presidential campaign is the, you know, how a president comes across in the media.
Yes.
Television, radio, whatever like that. That does matter. You know, that's what hurt Harris going up to now. She doesn't sound too bright when she's done media interviews. Listen, she finished dead last in the Democrat primary. People forget that.
And dropped out before the
first primary. Yes. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Ed.
Yes. And I try not to watch the television anymore.
No, it's okay.
You want a full report tomorrow.
I'll just stop and watch it with you. All right. Have a great afternoon, everybody. See you tomorrow.